Grant unto us, O Lord, with open minds, ears, and hearts to hear and receive your holy word. For these things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Trust is an extremely important aspect in all human relationships and interactions. Let me give you a few examples. Should I get a second opinion on my health diagnosis? Can I really trust this label on this item of food in the supermarket to be truly what it claims to be? After all, how do I know whether it really is a free-range chicken or not? Can I trust this biblical commentator in their understanding of this biblical passage? Can I trust this person that I'm going to take into confidence that they will keep confidential what I'm about to tell them? In all of these examples, the underlying issue is trust and trustworthiness. Now I'm going to give you a brief summary of the wisdom books of the Old Testament from a biblical commentator and theologian by the name of J.I. Packer, whom I trust and I find to be trustworthy. Here is his summary of the wisdom books. Psalms teach us how to worship. Proverbs, how to behave. Job, how to suffer. Song of Solomon, how to love. Ecclesiastes, how to live. A truthful and concise summary of these biblical wisdom books. Proverbs teach us how to behave wisely in the fear of the Lord. Notice the summary did not say Proverbs teaches us how to be saved, but rather how God's people should behave because they are God's people through trusting in the finished work of Jesus for our salvation. So my first point this morning under the title, What is the Call of Wisdom? My first point is wisdom is calling out to all people, from Proverbs 8, 1 through 5. Wisdom is personified, as some commentators call, Lady Wisdom, calling out to all people who have ears to hear. And I called her Lady Wisdom because wisdom is spoken of in the female pronoun as she in Proverbs 8, 2 and 3. More about that in a moment. But Proverbs 8, 3 through 5 says this, beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, to you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. So Lady Wisdom calls out by the city gates, which is in ancient times the main entrance to the city, where the elders met, where business deals were transacted, where traffic flowed in and out of the city. Wisdom stands by and calls out. And while many may ignore her wisdom, it is for all those who are wise and want to increase in their learning, as well as those who had been fools or naive and want to get onto the way of wise living. And so this is a call to be committed to her, to desire her beauty more than riches or gold. Now, I promised to say more about wisdom personified as she, and here we go. As I have said before, wisdom is personified, which is a poetic device intended to apply human characteristics to wise living. It is not, I repeat, is not meant to imply teaching something about the being of God himself, as if we were to address God as she or mother. Throughout Scripture, God is addressed as male in terms of God and Father and he and him. Even though God the Father and God the Spirit do not have a physical body, yet they are called he. Only God the Son has a physical body, and that at a point in time, as he was conceived in the womb of his mother Mary by the Holy Spirit. And yes, Jesus Christ still has a physical resurrected body, and he is still a male. The masculinity of God is a mystery in the sense that while God, not having a body, is still called he. And as Christian believers, we are wise. We are wise to live within that mystery. Again, instead of making it up as you go, we must believe what Scripture reveals about himself rather than attempting to fashion God in our image. And so wisdom is personified as a she, and yet that's not talking about God as she or mother. God is our Father. There have been deficient and despicable fathers from ancient time to the present. But let us not drop calling God our Father because either the misunderstanding of some biblical texts, such as this one, or the behavior of fathers. This is a clear call to be guided in our beliefs concerning God by God himself. God's revelation of himself given to us in Holy Scripture, which is his written revelation. Now that I've clarified that, back to Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom patiently calls out not only to men, but to all of humanity. In Proverbs 8:5, to those who are naive to gain prudence, and to fools to understand wisdom. This is God's love and mercy continuing to urge us. Even those who have at some point in life rejected wisdom, knowledge, and prudence, to not remain in their folly, but instead to seek after God's wisdom. And so the wisdom of God is calling out to all of humanity, to all who have ears to hear, to listen. My second point, wisdom is the partner of true morality. In Proverbs 8:6-13, this point is covered. In fact, in Proverbs 8:12-13, it says this, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. I want to explore more this phrase, the fear of the Lord. I want to begin by saying what the fear of the Lord does not mean. To fear the Lord does not mean running away from God because you're scared of him. The proper meaning of the fear of the Lord, when we draw from all the references within the book of Proverbs and the rest of Scripture, is to have a proper reverence for the holiness of God. We may get to be a bit confused in our thinking about the fear of the Lord as we wrestle with confusion about God as love. Why do I need to fear him, as if that sounds like a contradiction? But there is no contradiction between loving God and fearing God, just as there's no contradiction between God's holiness and God's mercy. If we are true, genuine believers in Jesus Christ, we need not fear God's judgment against us, for Jesus took our punishment upon himself and suffered God's judgment against sin. Yet Christian believers are to retain and uphold the proper fear of the Lord for who he is. Jesus himself tells us this in Matthew 10:28. Where he said, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. It is through trusting in Jesus as God and Savior that we are spared from eternal judgment in hell, Yet we are to serve God, who is holy and righteous. And yes, we are to have a holy respect for our awesome God. We see it in the book of Proverbs, this repeated emphasis that wisdom, knowledge, prudence, discretion, and the fear of the Lord all are interconnected. We need to realize that there is a difference between being intelligent and being wise. A person may be very intelligent, very knowledgeable about their profession, skilled in their career, and have a high level of common sense, and yet not be wise. Because of this very point that we've heard from the very first chapter of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 7, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." This is in harmony with our present passage, which reminds us that the attributes of knowledge, discretion, and the fear of the Lord dwell with wisdom. They are in harmony with one another. They are in sync with one another. And so what is repugnant to godliness is also repugnant to wisdom. There is no conflict between godliness and wisdom. Notice also in Proverbs 8 that we are to hate anything that goes against God's moral will for our lives. Solomon writes that the proper fear of the Lord includes hating evil and then lists specific examples of evil, such as pride, arrogance, and the perverted mouth. We are to hate any form of sin, hate in the sense of avoiding it, fighting against it in our minds, hearts, and actions, and repenting of it, turning away from it, and pleading for God's mercy and help in fighting these besetting sins. And we need to humbly cry out, because all these sins affect us in one way or another. Heal me, Lord, of my disobedience. Heal me of my pride. Heal me of my foul mouth. Heal me of my gossiping tongue, my self-righteous attitude that wants to magnify somebody else's sin while minimizing my own sin. That's just lousy, stinking pride getting in the way. And we all struggle with it in one way or another. And yet we have to hate it and fight it. And so wisdom is partners with true morality and the fear of the Lord. My third point is wisdom is the key to all success. When Solomon speaks of the benefits of seeking after wisdom, it speaks of both material benefits and immaterial benefits. Benefits that can be seen and benefits that may not be seen. The material benefits are visible benefits we see with our physical eyes. Proverbs 8:18 says, "Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness." And right before that, in Proverbs 8:15-17, it says, "By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." As God's adopted children through faith in Jesus Christ, we are to seek after wisdom, justice, and righteousness. Because we have been saved by Jesus Christ, we are rich indeed, whether or not we have a fat bank account or not. This is our riches. And as we just sang in the praise song, they are more valuable than gold. And so whether you ever have any gold or silver in this life, if you have Jesus, you are rich. Amen. Even here in Proverbs, I believe this very text is teaching what a godly view of wealth and success are all about. For if you are in right relationship with God through His mercy, you are rich indeed. In the Old Testament, we do have examples of people who were materially wealthy, but also righteous, such as Abraham, Job, King David, and Solomon himself. But let us take note, and I've said this before, and I'm going to repeat it again. Follow me closely. There's righteous rich, and there's unrighteous rich. There's righteous middle class, and there's unrighteous middle class. There's righteous poor, and there's unrighteous poor. We cannot take the verses in Proverbs 8 to mean all wise people will be materially wealthy. The health and wealth gospel tries to make that point. If you truly love God, you will be financially wealthy, and that is false teaching, and flee from it. The prosperity gospel is not in accord with what Scripture teaches. In fact, it's not even in accord with what Proverbs 8 teaches. Proverbs 8 makes the point that godly wisdom is more valuable than silver or gold. Our true riches is righteousness and justice and right standing with God. May God strengthen us to hear wisdom's call and to grow in wisdom, in the fear of the Lord, and to grow in Christ, who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us an understanding heart, a fear of your great and glorious majesty, and increasing knowledge of you, Lord Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.